Mice die in mouse traps. The free cheese gets them every time. Socialism is not awesome. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Mr. Speaker, when the Prime Minister met President Donald Trump last week, did she do as the Foreign Secretary suggested and ask him to take over the Brexit negotiations?
That happened. May left.
She's
resigning. So we'll talk about that. All kinds of things on the Kate Daly Show today. How are you on your Friday? We're hitting a big weekend, Memorial Day. We'll be playing a rerun on Monday like everyone else. And I'm so happy you're tuning in. In fact, I have Uncle Milty as a surprise today.
Yep.
On a Friday. So glad you're joining me. And then Dave, the investigator, is going to be calling in the next hour, talking a little bit about John Lint, the kid that grew up in America that went over, I think it was in 2000, 2001, in the Afghanistan situation and left the country and left everything and decided to fight over there. And so anyway, he had a 20-year sentence. We're going to be talking to him about that because that was kind of late news coming out, I think, yesterday. We'll be talking about that and all kinds of things, May leaving. Before we get to May, though, I do want to say this about this senator. I think it was a senator, right? Or House. I'm trying to figure. I have it up. So
he's a member of the House.
Member of the House. I'm sorry. Okay. So the funding bill that we were talking about yesterday that was fast-tracked $19 billion for the emergency. And we were talking about it in a way that says, look at all the funds. Look at all the funds that go in. We have insurance companies when there's a disaster. We have the state funds. We have all kinds of funds. And we keep adding to it and adding to it. And we have FEMA funds. And then FEMA wants more money on top of that. And so then the feds rush in emergency style, and they do their funding. The problem with this, and this is, I'm so actually really glad. I'm sad that he was the lone guy on our GOP conservatives, but he was actually one that said, wait a minute, why are we fast tracking this? Why are we doing it on a holiday? And why are we constantly doing this? We shouldn't be doing this. We should really be looking at the needs and what's going on to say that we're just going to write a check like this. Wait a minute, stop. And I'm glad that he did it.
Well, the only reason he was able to do it was because the House was trying to pass this bill by unanimous consent.
Mm-hmm.
And since he voted no, they didn't have unanimous consent. So, boop, no bill.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, though, is that he also said that the reason he was objecting to the bill is because it left out the $4.4 billion in additional spending for federal operations along the U.S. Mexico border.
Right.
Well, you know, that in and of itself isn't a good reason to spend the other $19 billion.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, yeah, and why didn't Moore stand up and question this, just like he did? This was Texas Representative Chip Roy. And he took to the House floor and said late this morning to object to lawmakers trying to approve the legislation in a fast-track tactic. And I do have to agree with him. Why is this stuff not talked about? Why fast-tracking has become so commonplace. And we accept it because we go, well, there's an emergency. But I find it interesting that FEMA has such a huge, huge, huge budget. The states have a budget. The insurance companies have a budget. This is why people pay insurance. You know how many billions of dollars go into insurance. And yet this is fast-tracked without a second thought. And then if you don't want it or you're against it, then what? Well, media today paints him as, why would you not want this for the poor people that have just been hit in Missouri? And I understand the people were hit in Missouri, but he has every right, Chip Roy, to question this. And I'm glad he did, at least. It makes people think, because this story came out, and I'm glad that they at least had to think about what they were doing. There's no thought, I don't think, anymore. It's just a given.
But if you read all of it, there's still a problem, because the Senate made a compromise to take out the $4.4 billion for the Mexico border.
Mm.
Why is the Senate making that compromise?
Right.
They could have passed it without a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
They do have the majority, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't need to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So they took out the $4.4 billion, which allowed Roy to not vote for it. But he would have voted for it had it had the $4.4 billion for the border. So there's still a thought process here that's not right.
It's not jiving. I want to see the border get built. No matter what. I want to see the border get built. And it should have been built. And they're doing it in such turtle, and it's such a turtle means that, my gosh, it won't be built until 2050. But at the same time, the thought process of what gets money, what doesn't, what gets fast-tracked and what doesn't is very, very interesting. That should not be ignored.
Well, on top of that now, the Democrats can say, look, the Republicans won't help the poor people in the disaster.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give them the money for the disaster. They're not going to say, because we didn't give them the $4 billion for the border.
So true.
You know, it's just a mess.
Yeah, it is a mess.
It's constant manipulation.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking on the way to work today, I was thinking that we often say, you know, it's just politics, as if collusion, lying, stealing, blah, blah, blah. It's just that. And it isn't just anything. There's no just about it. The reason we've coined it that way is because the American people don't call for its demise, this corruption. We just go, well, it's just politics. It's just, if the banks were stealing money out of your account, I mean, literally dipping in and take, would we say it's just those banks? Those banks, gosh darn it. That's just how they do business. Of course we wouldn't look at it that way. But we do when it comes to politics, and they seem to get a pass for their ideology and for what they're thinking, and both sides of the aisle are pretty darn corrupt. And so I don't know why. Well, I do know why we've come to that conclusion, but it's kind of sickening when you think about the kind of pass we give it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday they get another chance.
Mm.
Tuesday there's a pro forma session, and they'll get to vote on it again with fewer representatives there.
Right.
And Roy has said, well, I don't know if I'll vote against it again on next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the?
Yeah. Anyway, well, I was proud of him for a moment, and even like bringing it up, because have you noticed that they don't bring it up?
Nope.
They don't question. It's just,
they don't want the whole discussion.
And where are they parking a lot of this money? Where are they parking it? That's the thing. That's what's never, well, it's just not disclosed a lot. And we don't get an accounting. That's it's a huge problem in this.
No, they park it right next to the printing press.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about May. Let me play this for you. This speech, obviously, it's edited a little bit, the whole middle section, because got to the end of it. But this was this was basically it. It was a little bit longer, but here you go.
Since I first stepped through the door behind me as Prime Minister, I have striven to make the United Kingdom a country that works not just for a privileged few, but for everyone, and to honour the result of the EU referendum. Back in 2016, we gave the British people a choice. Against all predictions, the British people voted to leave the European Union. I feel as certain today as I did 3 years ago that in a democracy, if you give people a choice, you have a duty to implement what they decide. I have done my best to do that. I negotiated the terms of our exit and a new relationship with our closest neighbours that protects jobs, our security, and our union. I have done everything I can to convince MPs to back that deal. Sadly, I have not been able to do so. I tried three times. I believe it was right to persevere, even when the odds against success seemed high. But it is now clear to me that it is in the best interests of the country for a new Prime Minister to lead that effort. So I am today announcing that I will resign as leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party on Friday the 7th of June, so that a successor can be chosen. I've agreed with the party chairman and with the chairman of the 1922 committee that the process for electing a new leader should begin in the following week. I have kept Her Majesty the Queen fully informed of my intentions, and I will continue to serve as her Prime Minister until the process has concluded. I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
At the end of that, she walked off in rather a huff. There's definitely things going on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to know what you think of this, and what you think of her. There was kind of an interesting article about being a British right-wing extremist, and we'll have to bring that up a little bit because it was kind of unique. But at the same time, she's leaving, and the people aren't getting what they desired.
No.
And so what happens next? And it's kind of it's going to be complicated, I would imagine. But she did walk off in kind of a, oh, yeah, you know, you got what you wanted. So what was going on? And your thoughts and feelings on that. In fact, it's open phone lines, 888-673-1450. We should mention Assange, too. We'll be talking about him a little bit, too. All of the charges against him. Wow, there's a lot. And it's quite pitiful, actually, because honestly, I don't think he did the things that he's been accused of. So, whew, that's a big one, too. Canada is threatening something that we'll talk about when we come back, too. But I do want your calls on that, on Theresa May and your thoughts there. What do you think of her? What are your ideas when it comes to Theresa May? And a whole host of things, actually. We'll be talking about in the show today. Also, Comcast, their new surveillance is kind of interesting as well. I'm going to come back right after the break with Uncle Milty. We'll take your calls, 888-673-1450. So call right back. We're live. You can call in from anywhere in the country, Canada too. And happy to take your call, 888-673-1450. Call right back right after the break. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Daly Show. You can call up 888-673-1450. We'll take your call. 888-673-1450. Thank you for your continued support of the show. We need it. There's a Patreon account and also PayPal. You can go right to katedalyradio.com and donate to the show. It's really needed. I can't even tell you it's needed. So if you like the show, you want to keep the show going and on the air, help support it. And even if it's just a few bucks a month, it really means a lot to us. I've got Uncle Milty with me on this Friday. Just to kind of let you know, I will be on Caravan to Midnight on Tuesday. George Papadopoulos on that program as well, with the great John V. Wells. And so we'll be on with him. And then also just a bunch of stuff coming up. But Monday we'll be off for a holiday, so there'll be a rerun. And then also just lots of great things, lots of great guests coming on the show too. And Uncle Milty, you're awesome. Alex Newman joining me next week and on Friday. And we were just talking about May. We were just talking about Brexit and May and where we find ourselves in this situation. She's resigned. And not that, you know, we usually concentrate on what's going on here, but the dominoes of that as well, as we're watching a people that voted for something and are clearly not getting it. And is this the sacrificial lamb of the EU to say, you know, because I don't think May is without scrutiny here, but it's just it seemed like she left that podium after her resignation in a huff. And I'm, you know, the EU does not want Brexit. So how do you, when the people vote for, how do you make sure that doesn't happen? Well, they just did, didn't they?
Well, in the news that I read, it always says, well, they didn't have a plan. They don't have an approved plan to leave.
Mm-hmm.
When the voters in Great Britain voted to leave the European Union, did the legislation say, as long as we have an approved plan?
Yeah.
Or did they just vote right. to get out?
Right, right. Yeah, so... You know, it's being sliced and diced up into, you know, and they keep going with this not going to do it thing. So anyway, this is the problem. This is the problem also with the North American Union thing. This is the same kind of thing that we're facing. They wanted to create that EU to remove sovereignty. And that's very much what could happen in the case of us aligning with Canada.
Absolutely.
And Mexico. And I don't think as a nation we're really understanding how look at Brexit to know what happens.
Yep.
America wanted to vote for something. Nope. See, we would have that North American treaty overlooking it and saying, no, that's not going to actually happen. You don't get your will. Sovereignty of a nation, no.
I see no reason to form a union with two mm-hmm. countries that are already dependent on us too much.
Oh, my gosh. And have the most interesting way of doing business.
Yeah. And they're way different.
Yeah.
They're way different from us.
Just mentioning Canada, by the way, and you're welcome to call up on this, 888-673-1450. Justin Trudeau, this comes to me by way of G. Edward Griffin, who we've had on the show. He's the one that exposed the Federal Reserve, creature of Jekyll Island.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau threatened consequences if social media sites don't start banning hate speech. So he's basically threatening and saying, look, I'm going to threaten social media platforms in general with consequences and meaningful penalties. Let me guess, jail time and money? That's really the only place he can go. If they don't step up, see his language? Because stepping up
is a good thing.
Denotes that they're going to be now honest because they're going to censor you. No, that's exactly what's not going to happen. And he said, ban everything his regime feels is hate speech or disinformation. A government banning disinformation about the government?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where do you think that's going to lead? And he's like, and so this piece went on to say Canadians are not fooled and recognized it as censorship and thought control, hate, violent extremism, criminality were not defined in order to be able to change the rules at will. And so that comes to us from Griffin. So I found that to be very interesting that he is now threatening. New Zealand's doing this. I mean, you'll see these companies sort of now go the extra step of they better do something and they better do it for the safety of man. That's the argument.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely the opposite. 100% the opposite. So, it'll be, man, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine them taking control, but you know, they wanted control for a long time. So the 10 principles of their new digital charter, just so you're aware, in Canada.
Yeah, these look fun.
Oh my gosh. Universal access. All Canadians will have equal opportunity to participate in the digital world and necessary tools. It sounds nice, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, safety and security. It's always safety. We're such a safe people. Canadians will be able to rely on the integrity, authenticity, security of the services they use.
Even though censored.
I just got warm butterflies thinking about that. And it's courtesy of the government. So that works. And then control and consent. Canadians will have control over the data they're sharing, just not the ones we don't want them to. Transparency. I mean, they go on and on making this sound like it's the mm-hmm. most wonderful thing to ever hit Canada. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
Hi, Milty. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you doing? Go right ahead.
This is your correspondent from FEMA Region 9, Daniel.
In California. Yes, go right ahead, Daniel.
Hi. You finally got me to call by mentioning this horrible threat.
Yes.
This scary threat from Justin Trudeau.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting a threat from Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's hope, huh? Let's just hope that it's not a combining of the countries minus sovereignty that we would buy into this nonsense too. Because let's just hope that Justin is never calling the shots over here. They're all pretty intertwined, but let's just hope.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to turn out to be whatever's best for the politicians of this country. Mm-hmm. Rather than the people of this country.
Yeah.
That's what will be done by Washington anyway.
Well, the argument will be everyone around us is doing it. America needs to do it too, right?
Well, didn't Trump already get on board with that MCA?
Yes, he did. And I don't agree with it at all. And there have been many critics calling that out and saying that this is one of the worst things that could happen just because it does. It's like forming the EU, and that's what we're not understanding here.
Yeah, see, I think we got enough to concentrate here rather than looking at that wimpo Justin Trudeau
wimpo.
And his fake eyebrows.
Yes.
We got a so-called conservative president who's acting as much New World Order as anybody before him.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things that I absolutely do not agree with, and I don't agree with having more troops in Iraq. I don't agree with this treaty. I don't agree with many things. There are many things going on, and we should be really critiquing everything. There are some things that I really like. So they're on both fronts with Trump, and I've said this again and again on the show, there are things I applaud and things I don't. And so, yes.
You know what? You could really cheer me up if you could tell me one thing that you really, really like that Trump has done, mm-hmm. that he's empowered to do constitutionally.
Well, I have. I've done whole shows on lists of things.
Well, just say one thing to cheer me up right now, could you?
I think that he actually is out there promoting Christianity, which I like, because I think that he's calling out the things that are going up against Christianity, and I think he is trying to defend it. I don't think he's the world's biggest Christian, but I do think he's defending it. I actually think that he's lessened regulations on a lot of fronts with a lot of agencies. That's something that Obama wasn't doing. I mean, I've done whole shows on this. I've had long lists.
Well, the regulation might be something he could constitutionally do. Mm-hmm. I just keep hearing he's lessened regulations, but I haven't heard any names of regulations he's done away with.
Gosh, I thought I did a whole entire show. Let me look at my notes.
Well, I can go back and look if you've already done it. I trust you on so many things, and Uncle Milky too. So
I'll go back and look. Okay, I actually looked at all of his EOs, and I instead of just being an EO, I wanted to know. And I am not defending or supporting EOs right now. I'm just saying I looked at them and said, okay, where did these lead and what happened? So maybe I need to do another show about it. But thank you for that.
If it's marked that way in your archives, I can see your old shows and I'll go look. And
sounds good.
Maybe I'll be real happy once I listen to it.
Okay, thanks. What's odd about the Trump thing is that you either have to be 100% for or you think he's Satan. There's no extreme for me either way. It is I like these things and I don't like these things. I think that we've made a little headway on some things that Obama, let's put it this way, who lit up the house in the rainbow flag? Who was doing those things and making sure that those kinds of things happened? It was him. Yet on some other things, and especially in foreign, in our relationships with foreign lands, I have not liked a lot of what he's done. But I will guarantee you this. The Syrian president would have been dead by now if Hillary was president. That I absolutely know because she was gunning for him, just like she did Libya. So there are things that have happened that have panned out that aren't going to credit to Trump, but I actually think come down from the administration, and that's one of the reasons we did not. Now, he is threatening Iran. I don't agree with that, but Syrian's still alive. So Assad is still alive, which wouldn't have happened.
You know, one of the president's earliest executive orders was the executive order signed on January 30th, 2017, reducing regulation and controlling regulatory costs, where he ordered that all executive departments and agencies must slash two regulations for every one new regulation proposed. That was a legal, constitutional executive order that affected only the executive bureaucracies.
Right.
That was a great one, and it's done a lot of good.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one, too. But so, I do have a very long list, actually. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, oh, no, there's a huge list.
There is a list of things, I promise. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, hi, Kate.
Hi there.
How are you on this fine Friday?
Good. How are you? You only have about a minute and a half. I'm sorry about that, but go right ahead. I'd love to hear from you.
That's okay. I just wanted to say the way that what I was thinking about when I heard that the British Prime Minister was going to step down, I just felt like she totally got run over. Mm. And, you know, really, really disappointed that she didn't stick it out and say, you know what, I'm not going to cave. I'm not going to give in, and I'm going to continue to fight.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of women who end up in a position like that, if they come across as being a Donald Trump, then they don't want to take the heat and say, you know what, then I'm going to be called what the names I'm going to be called, but I'm still going to do it because it's right.
Right.
And I just felt really bad that she took that and she caved.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep. Thank you for that. I appreciate your sentiments on that. Thanks. Yeah.
I agree with that. I think she should have stuck it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Now it's going to start all over at square one again.
Right. Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about taking away the tax. You know, I was just being asked about the good things. He did take off that tax for the whole catalyst of that ACA.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gone yet, but Congress has a lot to do with that, too. And so the hard part is dissecting what exactly is Congress's part and what exactly is the president's role in that. Because the president, when he gets accused of saying, well, I said that or I'm supporting that, then everyone goes, yeah, but it didn't happen. Well, sometimes it didn't happen because of Congress. So you have to be able to dissect that. But the deregulation, having 22 regulations, deregulatory actions for every one regulatory action actually has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
There were tax cuts that took place, huge tax cuts, actually, and all kinds of things. I mean, I could go on and on. But what I'm saying is that you have to make sure that if you're going to say that if you're going to criticize Trump, make sure that actually can be pinned on Trump, too, because he isn't all of Congress, nor would I want him to be.
Yep.
There are things I disagree with, too. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Hey, baby, won't you take a chance? Say that you'll let me have this dance. A last dance. A last dance. We'll do the twist, the stomp, the mashed potato too. Any old dance that you want to do. But listen.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Oh, yeah. Got Uncle Vilty here on a Friday, special Friday for you, hitting your Memorial Day weekend. You know, being asked a curious question, and that is, you know, give me something that Trump has done. The reason that I bring this up actually quite a bit on the show is because you know me. You know I'm going to, I want to look at everything with really clear eyes. I'm not 100% on board with never looking at anything Trump does without questioning it, and I'm not going to think he's Satan. So I mean, I would hope that people would sort of back off of that mentality a little bit and just really look at what he's doing. The problem that we have in America right now, to me, is that we have become such a swamp that we sometimes don't give credit for how swampy it actually is. And how much can actually be done and how much everyone is up against to make things right. There are so many things. There are so many tentacles that I didn't expect Trump to go in and solve everything, nor could he ever have done so. So I always try to be pretty fair when I'm looking at this through clear eyes, because when I look at what Obama's momentum was all about or his objective in office, it was clearly about aligning ourselves with globalism. It was clearly about pushing climate change. It was clearly about changing our culture and supporting that on every front, and you know, lighting up the White House, you know, in the rainbow flag, and I mean, really going to bat for that kind of stuff. There was a very, very clear agenda. what I see since Trump's taken place, I'm really trying to be just really honest about this, is I see him getting credit for things that a lot of the neocons would like, okay? And so I understand that. I understand where neocons, he'll get credit for those. That's not what I would give him credit for. What I give him credit for is calling the news media fake, because they are. That's huge. Have you ever seen a president do that? Do you realize what he's up against in doing that? He's also come out and appointed people for climate change that are absolutely not okay with this whole human-caused climate change agenda. He has appointed some very neat people to that, and I'm so glad, because they are the experts that can combat it, which is so, I'm so grateful to him for that. That we had this momentum even through Bush and Clinton. I mean, my gosh, look at our past. We haven't had a president that went, no, this is fake. We haven't had a president do that about climate change. They've only ridden on the coattails and tried to implement it. So with Paris Accord, all of these kinds of things, we've had great journalists on the ground that have come on the show and talked about that. We've also outed the North American treaty that is horrid, okay? And I think he's actually doing it to create jobs of some sort and to create this back and forth with Mexico. But I know, and you know, and everyone knows that has studied government, that that's not where that's going to end up. And the next president takes that to another area with globalism. Okay. Because we are creating sectional EUs, and that is not okay. So I'm never going to be okay with that. Also, there are a lot of things he has done, that you have to understand are he has to have Congress. He's got to have these arms. Now, he has veto power, but he also at the same time helped restore the coal back up to 60%. Because remember, Obama was trying to destroy coal. We are also in a place in America now where we're producing almost all of our own oil, which is separating us from the petrodollar that we initiated back with the Middle East. And so we have that as well. There's lots of things like that that I could point to that are up against the global regime, if you will, of what their objective overall is. So there's many, many things that I could point to that. If you want to credit him with job creation, my argument would be I would want to credit somebody with deregulation so that jobs could take care of themselves. Not that a president should ever be responsible for jobs, because in this country, the government was never supposed to be responsible for jobs. But we in this country created so much regulation that it made it impossible for people to create jobs. So does that make sense? So putting him at that isn't honest, because the president shouldn't be doing that to start with. But we created that mess. So what I'm talking about are the tentacles that we created. He's trying to make deals with countries that the New World Order does not want. Okay. He's trying to talk to Russia, not go nuke Russia. He's trying to, do you know what I mean? He's actually trying to talk to these countries. Now with Iran, I've done shows on Iran, so that's it's kind of a different mess for me. And he's listening to Bolton too much, and he surround himself with a few too many globalists. I will admit that for sure. But there are things he's done that I'm actually glad he's done. So I don't know. He hasn't gotten rid of our problem with education. I'd love to see him on that. He hasn't got rid of our very ratcheted up war budgets. I would love to see that. But he's also pointed out a lot with NATO. He also refused to go to some of these globalist meetings. And so that's a great thing with Veterans Affairs. He's helped there. So there have been things that actually have been good. So what do you say?
I think one really good thing about the president is he does say a lot of things to cause reactions.
Yes, I will agree
with
that.
Not necessarily because he believes in something, not necessarily because he wants to do something, but he'll say something to get reactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are the things I do not expect Trump to do. He's not going to create world peace. The globalists won't have it. There's no way. And if he's considered a globalist with him, you're not going to get it. You're just not going to get it. He's not going to get rid of education. It's too deeply entrenched. So we're going to have to make other decisions, like getting your kids out. There's a lot of things that I think that if people went in with the expectation he was going to right every wrong, I don't know how you would do that in a 4-year period and also be investigated for a crime you didn't conduct at the same time. I'm not quite sure how you would do it. But I think that the things that he's trying to do, there are some really good things that he is actually for and trying to do. But he isn't the ill-conceived, huge laundry list of expectations that America had. What it did was, instead of it falling upon the responsibility of the American, they put it all on Trump. You fix it or we won't believe in you. That isn't even, I can't even believe that argument. Come on. We have to be educated. This is on us because we've allowed this swamp to happen. Not because President Trump didn't clean up the mess. It's because we allowed it. We didn't call him out. We kept electing the Schumers and the Pelosi's and the McConnell's and the McCain's and the Romney's. We've done that, not Trump. So when people look at him and want him to either carry all of it or they blame him for being Satan, I don't even understand that argument. It makes zero sense to me. Where's our responsibility in this?
Well, speaking of our responsibility, when we talk about education, I don't see a reason for the president to do anything. If we really are concerned about the education of our children, don't buy a new car every 3 years and use that money instead to pay tuition for a private school.
Amen, brother. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, what gets me is the fact that in the first 2 years, Trump has gotten the tax, you know, reform done.
Yeah.
And he's done some other pretty important things. And he tried to get the American, Affordable Care Act repealed and all.
And Congress
didn't do it. Congress is the problem.
Yep. And Congress didn't pass the border when they could have, when they had power. They didn't do it. And nobody wants to pin that on him. It's all about Trump. I mean, I don't even get that argument at all. Yeah, that too. So there's a couple things like that.
I look at it and go, you know, when Obama got inaugurated, he got a Nobel Peace Prize, and when Trump got inaugurated, he got a grand jury investigation.
Exactly. That should say volumes. That is very true. That's how they reward the globalists, is they give you a Nobel Peace for doing nothing. He got it in 2009, Obama did, for nothing. So, I agree.
But I look at it and go, it's what his agenda is bucking the system, and that takes time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's going to take a long time to do it. Mm-hmm. And I even look back and go, you know, we still haven't gotten rid of any of the social programs that were started by FDR.
Mm-hmm.
Not any. We have gotten rid of some of them, but the majority still exist.
Yeah.
By Johnson, they still exist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ones that Carter put, the departments that Carter created, they still exist.
Yep.
And we've had how many Republican presidents that we say, why aren't they rolling back what those Democrats did? He's only had 2 years to try to do it.
Exactly. And we don't fault the Congress members that have been in for 150 years now that haven't done anything to solve these issues. Isn't it funny how the blame is never on them? I always find that a little odd. Yeah.
The number one thing he could do right now that would make a big difference and change a lot of ideas and actually divide a lot of people but give a lot of people hope for some kind of change is defund Planned Parenthood.
Yep. I agree. I'm going to agree
with
you there.
It's a simple line item in a budget.
Yeah.
It's not a big thing to do. It's not legislation. It's a line item in a budget.
Yep. I agree. Thank you so much.
And that puts a line in the sand about abortion.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It was a great call. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. You don't have much time, but go right ahead.
Yeah, this will be quick. You know, I agree with what you guys are talking about. You know, if Congress and Senate, if they would do their job, who cares what the president would be doing? You know, it's just they need to step up and work.
It's just that the president can't do it all. That's the problem. Is if the president did everything, he'd be king. So I you can't pin it on him at all. No president, actually.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I like about the situation with Trump is, I mean, narcissistically, I think he believed he was going to get it. But look, you look at how he acted during the campaign. I don't think he was going to get it. I mean, I think he was just like, look, I'm just going to get out there and just be obnoxious, and then he started getting traction. So I think we can actually kind of trust this is how, you know, he's genuine.
Thank you.
You know,
for
where
that.
Other presidents, it's like it was probably a puppet.
Thank you for that. Really appreciate that. That's how a lot of people feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm always dissecting it to see. And I really do go in with the eyes is he a puppet? Is it disinformation? I mean, really, you could spend a lot of time doing that. And I have, and I do. And I always will. I'm not going to drop that. And so that's why I think the two extremes, that you're 100% on board or you're 100% not, that's been sold to us so that we can pin everything on him, not look at Congress, and have mm-hmm. absolutely no responsibility in our contribution to this all along. And that's where the biggest problem to me is. And I'm not saying all this based on the call to Daniel, that Daniel called in, because he had every right to say, okay, what has he done? I get that, Daniel. Mm-hmm. I totally understand where you're coming from on that. But there is a very, very long list. Should I put it out on the Kate Daly show? There is a long list of things he's done as far as trying to get rid of employees, trying to get rid of people. A lot of those people were built in to where they could not lose their job.
Yeah.
So he has a lot of people in a huge, huge government that work that he cannot get rid of, that are consistently putting out bad policies, regulations, all kinds of things that he's trying to halt. I'm not quite sure, with the tentacles so big, that you could actually come in 4 years and clean up a mess that's been going on for 110. I'm not quite sure anyone could do that unless they were full of superpowers. But then again, it wouldn't be okay, because then the people would still be ignorant. And that's really why we've arrived in the mess, is the people are ignorant. So everything is on Trump's shoulders. You know, he has been consistently fighting a media arm that is 100% taking everything he says and misconstruing it and putting it out there and falsifying it. Look at how many politicians lied about information from Russia that they mm-hmm. saw with their own eyes that they never did. There's a definite war going on in the deep state right now. Definitely, without question.
Absolutely. The latest lie is, of course, the cover-up.
Yeah, but we're not going to get the country we want. And this is probably the most important thing I can say on this. We're not going to get the country we want based on one man. We're going to get the country we want based on a Congress and Senate full of constitutionalists that don't take the bribe, that are there for the right reasons, and that will move to get rid of all the things the last caller even mentioned and the caller mm-hmm. before him even mentioned. If we don't have that, then you can't end up in 4 years with the country that you love, and because people are so brainwashed into thinking that we need a lot of those programs too.
And there's a name for those kind of men.
What's that?
Men of honor.
yeah. We need constitutional conservatives that are actually going to be there for the right reason. I'm not sure we'll be able to have them in office, because if you've noticed, whenever someone of them run, they don't have people in their favor, because we've been such a brainwashed populace. I really do hope we take on this responsibility and stop putting it all on Trump or not on Trump, and also back off from that thinking and say, what as a population are we going to do to solve this? Not, I'm going to sit there as my armchair quarterback and judge every move that Trump makes, because I'll guarantee you he cannot make enough moves to make all this right anyway. I didn't even expect him to. Remember when he got into office and I said, I don't have a lot of expectations here, just because we are the swamp of the swamps.
Yep.
You can't change all of it. He certainly has made some strides, though, and I got to give him credit for it. I'm not going to not give him credit. That's not fair, just because there are people that go, oh, I don't like him. Well, I don't care. You got to give credit where credit's due. It's fair.
That's right.
Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.